Today's shiur will be Maseches Sanhedrin Daf Yud Dalid. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Even though our shiur is focused on Daf Yud Dalid, the first few lines of the shiur will be from the bottom of Daf Yud Gimel Amid Beis. The Gemara in the previous shiur was discussing the issue of Smichas Zekenim. Smichas Zekenim, the Gemara had concluded, was done by three judges confer this title known as smicho, and as a result of that, a person is then called rabbi, and with that title, he is able to judge dinei knosos. As a result of that discussion, the Gemara today opens up with the question, is it so that you need three to confer smicho? The Gemara, four lines from the bottom, starts a long question, and you can see the length of this question by the encircled kuf that appears to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text between Gemara and the Tosfos, and it extends to the top quarter of Daf Yud Dalid Omid Aleph, constituting quite a long question. Before we go on in the Gemara itself, let's take advantage of one of our offerings in the Shas Ozir, the marked Gemara edition, and that is the topic headings. In this case, we have a subtopic, Tat Nosei, found in the outside margin. Maise, we're going to feature an incident, Shesomach Reb Yudah ben Bova Chamisha Zekenim, that a singular Rav, as it appears at the beginning of this question, a singular Rav conferred Smicha to five other scholars. Hence, our question, why is it that the Gemara before said you need three to confer smicha when we see from the following incident that even one is sufficient? Let us now start the Gemara. Four lines from the bottom. V'chad lo yisomech. Is it so that one is not able to confer smicha? Notice we've dashed, underlined the first word on line v'chad with an arrow provided in the margin to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. This draws your attention to a previous line featured by an arrow, and you'll notice also there a dashed, underlined expression begimel. That means with three. Above we said you need three. Here we're asking, is that so? Is one not sufficient? V'ha, the Gemara goes on, Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Rav, Bram, Zohur Oiso Ho'ish Latov. Rav Yehuda Marav says, Bram, in truth, let us recall the following man for good, Rav Yehuda ben Bava Shmoi. She'il Molehu, his name was Rav Yehuda ben Bava, and if not for him, we're going to skip this very brief bracketed section. The Gemara says, Shemolehu batlu dinei knosos mi Yisrael. If not for him, there would cease to be judging of dinei knosos, of laws that are defined as knas. Those are types of payments that are imposed upon someone who violates different types of averis, where the payment does not correspond directly to the damage inflicted or the financial loss caused. As a result of its lack of corresponding directly to that particular loss, it's categorized as knas as opposed to mamon. So we just said that if not for Reb Yehuda ben Bava, there would cease to be judgings of cases involving knas. Before we go any further in the Gemara, there's a section that we skipped in the brackets. It's a section that the Gemara says is inaccurate, and hence it has to be fixed up, and what we just read was the final version of the Gemara. But now, reading the Gemara again, the Gemara says, if not for him, nishtakhu dinei knosos misrael. This is the section in the brackets. If not for him, there would have been forgotten laws concerning knas. So the Gemara asks, with wonderment, nishtakhu, if something is going to be forgotten, nigrusinu, let them learn it. There's no reason for something to be forgotten if they don't engage in learning about it, so let them learn about it. Ella, what did Rabbi Yehuda Omar Rav mean when he said, let us recount Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava? it's as follows. If not for him, botlu dinei knosos miYisrael, there would have ceased to be the judging of dinei knosos. And we're about to embark on a long story in which you will see that the Romans tried to stop the Jews from continuing their legal system, specifically from conferring smicha onto the next generation of sages, and as a result of that, stop cases of knas from being prosecuted. Shepam achas gozro malchus harosha gzera al Yisrael. Once upon a time, the malchus harosha, the Roman government, issued an edict against Israel, and it stated shekol hasoimech yehareg. Anyone who confers smicha onto someone else will be sentenced to death. The chol hanismach yehareg, and likewise, anyone who receives this title will be killed. The ir shesoimchen bo techarev, and the city in which it is conferred shall be destroyed. V'tchumen shesomchen bo yakru, and the environs, the area around such cities, will be uprooted. Fairly intimidating edict. Ma also Rabbi Yehuda. So what did he do? Holach v'yoshav lo. He went and positioned himself bein shnei horim gedolim, between two mountains. Ubein shnei ayoros gedolos, between two large cities. Ubein shnei tchumei shabbos, between two distances known as tchum shabbos. In other words, as far as basic halach is concerned, every city has, as far as a person's rights to walk beyond the city limits, he has a right of 2,000 amos. Each city then has its own tchum. He positioned himself outside these tchum belts of the two cities, and the cities in specifically were Bein Usha l'Shfar'am, between those cities and their tchumen. And what did he do there in the, we'll call it in the open fields? What did he do? The somach sham chamisha zekenim, and he conferred smicha. Notice how we've dashed, underlined the somach. That's the heart of this particular discussion. We see one person conveying smicha, and who were the chamisha zekenim? Who were the five sages? Veluhein, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua. V'Rav Avya Moisif. Rav Avya adds to the list of Rabbi Nechemya. He adds that Rabbi Nechemya was also one of those to receive smicha. We've dashed, underlined Rabbi Meir's name for the Gemara later on. We've also provided an arrow in the margin that will serve us later. The story continues. V'kivan shikiru oyveyim bohen, when the enemies, the Romans, noticed what was happening, Omar Lohan, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, instructed his students, Bonai, Rutsu, says, my sons, run. He was aware that they were in dire threat. Omru lo, the students asked him, Rebbe, Matei Olecha, what will be with you? Omar lehen, he said to them, Hareini muta lifnehem ke'even she'en lo hoitchem. I am like a stone laying in front of them that has no ability to be flipped over. Omru, the Gemara reports, Lo zozo misham ad shenu atzu bo shalosh meos munviyos shel barzel ve'asuhu kekvora. They didn't move from there until they speared him with 300 piercings of spears, until they made his body like a sieve. At this point in the Gemara, we notice a question mark. This indicates the end of the long question. The long question being that we see from this particular incident that one is able to confer smicha, as opposed to what the Gemara said earlier, you need three. The Gemara answers, no, in truth you do need three. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, achrini havu bahadei. As far as this story with Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, there were others with him, v'hai de lo choshev lehu, and that they were not mentioned, mishum kvodo de Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. It was out of respect for Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, that when you're dealing with a towering personality, it's greater respect to refer to him singularly, even though there may be others with him. The Gemara now asks, regarding the name we mentioned above, and we dashed underlined, Rabbi Meir, and we have an arrow here in the space to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text referring you back to that line. The Gemara asks, Is that so that Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava Samchei, is that so that Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava was the one that issued or conferred upon him smicha v'ha omar rabo bar bachan omar Rabbi Yochanan? Kol ha'omer Rabbi Meir loy samchei Rabbi Akiva. Anyone who says that Rabbi Meir did not receive smicha from Rabbi Akiva, eino elotoya, is in error. In other words, Rabbi Meir received smicha from Rabbi Akiva. And anyone who says otherwise is making a mistake. The Gemara resolves both points. Samche Rabbi Akiva v'lo kiblo. Rabbi Akiva attempted to confer smicha on Rabbi Meir. However, it wasn't accepted. And the Rashi explains at the third line from the top, Lefish adayin hoya bochur. He was still a young individual. Samche Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava conferred smicha upon him, apparently at a later stage, the kiblo, and it was accepted. As you can see in the markings, we now have a slash mark, which indicates that the following Gemara is of a new nature, not related to the flow that we were just engaged in. The topic heading that we've assigned to this Gemara is found in the outside margin. Point number one, lo samchinon b'chutzlaretz, that smicha is not conferred outside of Eretz Yisrael. A second point of discussion, ma hadin im ha-soimchin b'aretz v'hanismochin b'chutzlaretz. What will the din be if the ones conferring the smicha are located in Eretz Yisrael and the ones receiving the smicha are in chutzlaretz, or outside of Eretz Yisrael? Would that be effective? Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Ein smicha b'chutz l'aretz. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi declares, there is no smicha in chutz l'aretz. My ein smicha. What is meant by that? In lema delo daini dine knosses klal b'chutz l'aretz. If you are to suggest that it means that there is no prosecution of dine knosses, of cases involving knas type payments in chutz l'aretz, that's not accurate. V'ha tanan, Sanhedrin neheges bein b'aretz bein b'chutz l'aretz. The Sanhedrin is able to prosecute cases even in chutz l'aretz, and that would include, certainly, dine knosis. Ella, stage bays in our search for what was meant by ein smicha. Ella deloy samchinon b'chutz l'aretz. The comment of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi that said ein smicha b'chutz l'aretz meant that that smicha is not conferred in chutz l'aretz. The Gemara now goes on, dealing with the second point that we mentioned in our introduction. What is the din if the somchin are in Eretz Yisrael and the receivers are in chutz l'aretz? Pshita somchin b'chutz l'aretz v'nismacha b'aretz harmin and delo. This first situation is obvious, that if the conveyors of the smicha are in chutz l'aretz and the receivers of it are in Eretz Yisrael, that certainly will not work. Ella, what about a second scenario? Soimchin ba'aretz v'nismochin b'chutz l'aretz, where the situation is reversed. Those conferring the smicha are in Eretz Yisrael and the receivers are in chutz l'aretz. My, what's the halacha then? So the Gemara answers, we have provided a long marking to illustrate the length of this response, and you can see that's featured by the Toshma, the abbreviated expression to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text, it's encircled with a vertical dashed line indicating the length of this response. In the Gemara as well, you'll notice a 1 and 2 that appear in diamonds. This is featured in our Mivneh, in our structural note in the outside margin, the 1 and 2. And the double underline. The double underline features the expression lo hava gabayhu, that he was not by them. These are shtei dugmaois la'anois l'sheilo hanal, two examples as response to the question that was referred to just above, namely if the somchin are in Eretz Yisrael and the receivers are outside of Eretz Yisrael, and the resolution of the Gemara will be delo mo'il, that it's not effective. Let us now see this in the Gemara. Toshma. So, case number one, the Rabbi Yochanan have a mitzdair olei, the Rabbi Shaman bar Abba, the lo have a gabayhu, the lismeche. Rabbi Yochanan was upset that Rabbi Shaman bar Abba was not by them, by Rabbi Yochanan and his colleagues, in order for them to confer upon Rav Shammah's smicha. So you see that long distance smicha would not work. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan, who was located in Eretz Yisrael, was unable to confer a smicha to Rav Shammah, who apparently was not by them. Case 2, Rav Shimon bar Zirud v'chad d'imei umanu Rav Yonason ben Achmoy. Chadimeh, someone who was with Rav Shimon, and that was Rav Yonason. And an opposite version now, the Amri law. Hence, when we have a second version, we oftentimes use a squiggle underline to indicate the change in versions. And the second version has the same names, but reversed. Rav Yonason ben Achmoy v'chad d'imei. Rav Yonason ben Achmoy was one of those, and someone with him in the Umanu Rav Shimon ben Zirud, Chad Dehava Gabayu Samchuhu, one who was by them. In the context of the Gemara, it would seem that it was by Rav Yochanan, who was mentioned before. He who was by them was able to receive smicha. V'chad delo havegabayu. Notice we double underlined the expression delo havegabayu. That's the second reference to this phenomenon of not being by the ones conferring smicha, and the Gemara says, lo samchu, he who was not by them did not receive smicha. So with this we conclude the Toshma, the long response, which indicates that if the somchin are in Eretz Yisrael and the nesmochim are in Chutz Laretz, it does not work. The next few lines of the Gemara will deal with a new topic, and we've used a slash mark indicating that the following Gemara is of a new nature. We also provided a title, the Nosei, Ein Smicha Lebeis Eli. The Smicha is not conferred unto the descendants of the house of Eli. Eli, who was the Kohen Gadol at the time of Shmuel Hanavi. Many of you may recall the story involving Shmuel's mother, Chana, who was praying, who was davening, and Eli, who was the Kohen Gadol, noticed some rather unconventional prayer behavior. As a result of problems that arose in his family, without getting into the details here, it was ruled from Shemayim that his descendants would die premature deaths, would die young. They would, in fact, not ordinarily, they would not reach even 18 years old. However, the Gemara reports elsewhere, and Rashi makes reference to it over here, if the descendants of the house of Eli would practice Torah and Gemilas Chasadim, that would give them an extension to their lives. The Gemara will point out, but even so, even if they are matzliach, and we've noted that in our note here, afilu le'elu shematzlichim la'gil le'zikna al yadei toru ma'isim toivim, even those are not going to be zocheh to receive smicha. Let's now see this inside. Rabbi Chanina of Rabbi Yoshaya have a called Mishtakid Rabbi Yochanan Lemis Mechinu. These two gentlemen, Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Yoshaya, were the subjects of Rabbi Yochanan's efforts. That's Mishtakid Rabbi Yochanan indicates Rabbi Yochanan exerted efforts Lemis Mechinu to confer upon them smicha. Lo hava mistaya milsa, but it just never worked out. It was unsuccessful. The Rashi points out, lo hava mistaya milsa, kishahayu etzlo, Rashi in the upper third of the page says, when they were by him, lo hoya moitse shnayim shistarfu imo lisamcho, vanat losabinan, Rabbi Yochanan was unable to find others, two others to join him. Just at the moment that they were by him, Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Oshaya, Rabbi Yochanan couldn't find two colleagues to join him in conferring upon them the smicha. Havikha mitzdayar tuva, the Gemara continues and says that Rabbi Yochanan was very upset about this. Omrulei, the two, Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Oshaya, told him, lo nitzdayar mora, don't be upset. The anan mi debeis Eli koasinon, we come from the house of Eli. The Omar, Rav Shmuel bar Nachman, Rav Yonason, Minayin she'ein nismochin lebeis Eli. From where do we see in Psukim that the descendants of Beis Eli were ruled upon not to receive smicha? Shenemar lo yezokein beveischa kol hayomim. My zokein. What is meant by the word zokein in this pasuk? If one were to approach this pasuk in a vacuum, one would translate it as saying there will be no elderly ones from the household of Eli forever. So the Gemara is asking, what is meant by the word zokein in this pasuk? Ilema zokein mamish, if it means elderly, mamish, literally old, that we know from another pasuk, v'haksiv kol marbis beischo yamusu anoshim, that all those that grow forth, that come forth from your household, will die, anoshim, will die as young men, 18 years old. So I don't need the pasuk of lo yezokein to convey that information. So what does it mean, lo yezokein? Ela smicha. It's a reference to zokein in the sense of wisdom, sage, not in terms of age, but in terms of wisdom. Like the Gemara says elsewhere, zokein is a roshi tevas for ze kona chochma, someone who acquired wisdom. So the pasuk is telling us that they will not receive smicha. But even though they might achieve old age, the chiddush being that even if they do practice Torah and Gemilas Chasadim, that gives them, we'll say, kapora over the ruling referred to in the other pasuk called Marbis Beischo Yomusu Anoshim, nevertheless, even though they get that kapora, they still will not be entitled to receive smicha. As we go on in the Gemara, we have some stories, some incidents involving different rabbonim and their encounter with the receipt of smicha. Rabbi Zeira, Hava Mitmar Mila Mismeche. We've indicated a number one in the Gemara because this is stage one of Rabbi Zeira's behavior. Rabbi Zeira initially used to hide himself from those who were trying to confer upon him smicha. The Omar Rabbi Lozer, Leolam Havi Kovul Vakayam. Rabbi Lozer gives wonderful advice for survival, and that is, one should lead a life of being inconspicuous, the kayam, and thereby live. Form of humility and lack of being in the public eye. That's the way to survive. However, Kevan de Shama Lahal Yamar Belozer, once Rabbi Zera heard another statement of Rabbi Lozer, Ein Adam Oilu Ligdula Ela Im Kein Moichelin Loi Al Kol Avonoisov, that one does not achieve a primacy and Gedula, greatness, unless he went through a stage at which he was forgiven for all his averas. So Rabbi Zera calculated, if I achieve godless through receiving smicha, by receiving smicha that will be a type of graduation to a higher level of greatness, I will thereby be entitled to atonement for my sins. He made that calculation. He figured, Amsi le anafshe, he made himself available to receive smicha, thereby achieving this mechila al kol avinoisav. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice some geometric forms, and they're explained in the outside margin under the Mivneh heading. The triangles are Kabolas Smicha Shel Rabbonim Mefursamim, the receipt of Smicha by certain famous personalities, and we will also see a bowtie form that indicates Eich Shoru L'Chvod Rabbonim, different songs that were sung to the Rabbonim upon their receipt of the Smicha. Continuing now in the Gemara, ki sum chuha le Rebbe Zera. When Rebbe Zera received smicha, shoru le hochi. They sang for him the following: lo chal velo srak velo pirchus v'ala schein. In general, the theme here is that one who is yala schein, one who is able to convey a sense of grace upon others without any adornments, without any cosmetic treatments. Going over the list again, chal is a type of cosmetic treatment for one's eyes, and srak is one's a facial cosmetic, and pirchus is a hair treatment. Namely, without any of these, and still looking beautiful, yales chain, a form of radiance, if you will. This was what Rabbi Zeira was characteristic of. In other terms, Rabbi Zeira was pure and represented wholesomeness and honesty, that without any externalities, he was one who cast grace upon all those that viewed him. Ki samchuhu the Rabbi Ami v'ul Rabbi Asi shoru lehu. When they received smicha, it was the following was sung to them: shoru lo hachi. Kol min dein smochu lana. All like these confer upon them smicha. Anyone who's like these, like Rabbi and Rabasi. However, don't convey smicha unto the following types. Lo tismuchu lanu, lo mi sar mitin, velo mi sar misin, vi amri lo, another version, notice the school underline, lo mecha misin, velo mi tur misin. The last expression in this list of phrases, Rashi says, lo isparish, is not explained. In other words, Rashi feels that he doesn't have a sufficient explanation for that. However, let's go over some of the other expressions. The first one was lo mi sar mitin. Rashi, if you notice where we have an asterisk to make it a little easier to find it, sar mitin lo shem smartut, an expression like a rag. Klomar she'ein noisnim ta'am hogun ledivram, those that don't give proper reasons for their rulings, for what they say. So people like that are incapable of giving Tom Hoglan proper reasons for their rulings, don't confer upon them smicha. The next expression was sarmisen. That expression, Rashi says a couple lines above, sarmisen is a loshon hafchanim, people that switch things around. Kamos sareses amikra misofo l'rosho, like the Gemara says in other places, that certain psukim are to be darshaned or to be explained by learning them backwards. Shemahapchen es tamei Torah. People who, in this case, people who switch around the correct reasons and they give you reversed explanations, those likewise not to confer upon them smicha. Another version of what was sung to them was lo mechamisin. Rashi says chamisin is an expression of chamsonis, of chamsonin shemoinin miloy mar tamei Torah. People, the word chamson. It has to do with withholding something. In this case, they withhold the correct reasons of particular halachas. The word chamisin, we have an asterisk indicating a note in the inside margin that says to look at Ksubas Yud Zayinam and Aleph, Loshen HaOruch, the Oruch, which was an early commentary from the early Rishonim period or possibly end of the Gaonim period, who compiled a type of Talmudic dictionary with many pirushim, with many explanations. He deals with this word chamisin, and we've included here what is found on the side of the Gemara Masechet Ksubis. Chamisin equals sheshoinin chumsho shel maseches, those that learn fifths of maseches. We don't want smicha to be conveyed upon them. People who learn just partial masechtas. In learning, we strive to learn entire units, entire gemaras, all of shas, not those who are learning fifths. Continuing in the Gemara, Rabbi Avo ki hava osu mi misifta lebei kesar. Rabbi Avo, when he came from the yeshiva, from the misifta, to the bei kesar, to the house of the Caesar, the government offices, if you will. Rabbi Avo, as well as being a great Rav, he was also a representative of the Jewish people in the secular government. So when he came to the governmental offices, Nafki Matronisa de Bei Kesar, one of the important women from the Bei Kesar, went out to greet him. Umesharion lay and sang to him the following. Rabo de Ame, the head of his people, the Nosi Ba'amov, Madbarno Dumse. Madbarno is another word expressing leadership. Manhig, a leader of his Ummah, of his nation. Butsina Dunahoira. This expression one is radiant because of his beauty, and the Gemara makes reference to Rabbi Avo's beauty in another place, in Maseches Bava Metzia. Literally, Butsina de Nahora, Butsina, the Gemara Nidorim, Daf Samach Vav Amebeis, says it's a loshen of a menorah, a loshen of a lamp of light. Brich Masyech Lishlam, blessed be your arrival in peace. As we continue in the Gemara, we notice a quote from the Mishnah, Arifas Egla Bishlosha, that the process of breaking the neck of the calf in the event that a murdered individual is found between two cities, that this ceremony is done by three. The Tosis points out Arifa, at the very top, Arifa lav dafka, we're not referring to the actual breaking of the neck. The medida hu the havio b'shloisha. It's really the measuring of the distance between the body and the nearest town in order to determine which town is closer to the body, and it's from that town that they will provide the means for acquiring the egla. That they, the measuring is done by three judges that come from the base in Agodon Yerushalayim. So our sugi will deal with that, with the three that are required for the measuring. Tosis points out on the second line, he says that the gimel mi beis din hagadol shbishalayim hayu yotzin, they, the three from the Sanhedrin that's located in Shalayim, the court of 71, would come forth, three members of that court, v'hadar katoni, and later it says in the Mishnah in Sota, Nifteru ziknei Yerushalayim v'hochu ziknei oisoir u'mevin egla rufa. Once the measuring was completed, then sages from the town that was found to be closer, they come forth and bring the egla rufa. V'hasam lo kotoni gimel. And regarding the sages from the town that's found closer, there's no reference to three, because they're not the ones involved with the measuring. Ukroi nami maisi b'gemara b'medida ksivi, and the psukim that the Gemara will bring in our sugya now is a reference to the measuring. So as we continue in the Gemara, we realize that the topic we're dealing with is the measuring of the city, of the two cities, to find which one is closer to the found murdered, the murder victim. We also have a title heading in the on the outside margin, the Nosei, Machloikes Tanoim B'minyan HaShoftim Le'egla Rufa. We're going to be featuring here a Tanaic controversy regarding the number of judges that are needed for this measuring. Tanur Rabbanan, the Tanaic source, is featured in our marking system, as we've mentioned on other occasions. Tanaic sources are featured by frames. The pasuk says, by the Egla Rufa, V'yotsu zekeinecha v'shoftecha. Zekeinecha is a plural expression, equals shnayim, two. Minimum plural is two. Shoftecha, likewise, is a plural expression, referring to judges, equals two, shnayim. The ein bez in shoklin, you cannot have an even number when you're dealing with courts. Mosifin alein odechad, we add one, hare kan, chamisha, two, plus two, which is four, is an even number. We add one, hare kan, chamisha, gives me five, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. You need five judges from the base in Agodo for this purpose. Rabbi Shimon, omer, zekeinecha equals shnayim. The word zekeinecha equals two, v'ein beis in shokul, Mosifin aleim odechad, hare kan, shloshan. As a result of his calculations, he comes out to three. He doesn't deal with the word v'shoftecha. The Gemara now asks, Rabbi Shimon, hai shoftecha mai ovidle. What does Rabbi Shimon do with that word? The Gemara answers, ahu mi boyolei l'miyuchadim shebashoftecha. He needs that word to teach that the judges that come for this process must come from the Sanhedrin HaGadol, from the special ones amongst your judges. Special ones, a reference to the Sanhedrin HaGadol. Rabbi Yehuda, where does he learn that idea from? Mi ziknei zikeinecha nafka. Instead of the word, the Torah saying word ziknei, it says zikeinecha. He learns from that that grammatical nuance that you need the special ones. Rabbi Shimon, he says, that would not be sufficient for my cause. E mi ziknei, if I had just the word ziknei, havi amino ziknei hashuk, I would have thought it refers to old commoners, people from the market, from the public. Kosev rachmona zikeinecha. The word zikeinecha therefore precludes simple commoners. The e kosev zikeinecha, had I had just that word, havi amino sanhedre ktana, scholars from the minor type of courts, namely courts of 23, as opposed to the major 71 court. Therefore, kosev rachmona v'shoftecha, which equals mimuchadim shebeshoftecha. I need the word v'shoftecha, says Rabbi Shimon, and only through that will I get to the idea of the special ones, and hence it's not available for number purposes. Rabbi Yehuda, what's his response to all of this? He says, the Gemara says, gomar ziknei ziknei. He learns a word comparison, egzereshava, mi v'samchu ziknei ho'edo es yedehem. He learns that I need the special judges, members of the Sanhedrin HaGadol, from a pasuk that's found in the context of Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibor, Vayikra Perek Dalet Pasuk Tezvov, which we just read, V'samchu ziknei ho'edo es yedehem. And we have our pasuk over here in the context of Eglah Rufa of Yotsu Zikeinecha Vishovtecha. Ma lahalon miuchodim sheba eda. Just like over there in Vayikra, it's a reference to Sanhedrin Agadol. Afkan, in the case of Eglah Rufa, Afkan miuchodim sheba zekeinecha. So too, by Eglah Rufa, I learn the high court. Hence, I freed up the word vishovtecha for numbers. In other words, and that's how Rabbi Yehuda got to five. The Gemara asks, E yolif, if you are learning Eglah Rufa from Par Helem Dover Shel Tzibor, from namely our topic here in Dvorim, Par Helem Eglah Rufa from the topic featured in Vayikra, Leilif Kula Mehasam, why not learn the issue of numbers from there as well? And just like over there, in the case of the placing of the hands on the Eglah Rufa, a number was reached. In how many are required, so to learn that over here. Zikeinecha v'shoftecha lomali, what will you do with these words in the topic of Eglah Rufa whatsoever? With this, we go back to the drawing board, so to speak. Ela vov v'shoftecha l'minyana. Rashi points out that Rabbi Yehuda does not learn the Gzeira Shava that was just suggested, but rather he darshans the vav of the word shoftecha to serve as a number indicator, the minyana, and he gets to five by darshaning the vav. So he has zikenecha giving me two, he darshans the vav giving me two, and we said Ein Bez and Shokel, I get to five. It would appear that Shoftecha will be the source of learning from the high court, from the special court. Rabbi Shimon Vav Lo Dorish. Rabbi Shimon doesn't have that as part of his learning over here in this particular topic. Tosfos says that in other places Rabbi Shimon does darshan the Vav, and his conclusion is that over here he doesn't darshan the Vav, he doesn't expound on the Vav, and hence he does not get up to five. Elo me'ata, if this be the case, then what about other plural words that we find in this parsha? Viyotsu equals shnayim. Umadatu equals shnayim. If I count these words as well, I get to another four individuals. The Rabbi Yehuda, Harei Tisha, the Rabbi Shimon, Shiva. Are you going to tell me that according to Rabbi Yehuda, I'll need nine people for the whole process, and according to Rabbi Shimon, seven? We've included the pasuk on the inside margin under the heading Dvorim Chof Aleph Pasuk Beis. It said in the pasuk, V'yotzu zikeinecha v'shoftecha. We've already dealt with the words zikeinecha and v'shoftecha. Umadadu el ha'orim asher svivos halal. We notice, of course, the word viyatsu in the pasuk, which is a plural expression, and umadadu, which means, and they measure, which is also in the plural form. But we don't see Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon holding these numbers. We know Rabbi Yehuda says five, and Rabbi Shimon says three. The Gemara answers, hahu miboya le lichadisanya. The words viyatsu umadadu are used for something else. Hence, we don't have to worry about them being used for number purposes. So what are they used for? V'yotsu, we have a Tanaic source that's in a frame, it continues till the top of the next Omid. V'yotsu equals hein v'lo shluchan. That when it comes to the measuring process, the Torah insists on the judges themselves doing it and not their agents or emissaries. U'madadu. Measuring, they must measure. What does this teach us? She'afilu nimsa be'olil le'ir, even if it's clear without measuring which city is closer, nevertheless, sarach lasok b'medida. They have to engage in the measuring process. In other words, the measuring in this particular halacha, or this particular scenario, is not necessarily a means to an end, but the measuring itself is an end in itself. Masnisin Velo Ki Haitana. The Gemara points out that our Mishnah is not like the following Tanaic source that will be featured in a frame. Before we go on, we will glance at the topic heading we've provided in the outside margin, the Nosei, Machloikas Tanoim Be'inyan Egla Rufa. We will see a Tanaic controversy in this topic. I Boi Melech V'Koyin Godol. Is it necessary for the king and the high priest, the Kohen Gadol, to be present? V'iyesh tzorech l'chol ha-Sanhedrin. And another issue that will come up, is it necessary to have all of the Sanhedrin present as well? So our Gemara points out that our Mishnah, which does not require a Melech and Kohen Gadol for Egla Rufa, is not like the following, Deloki Haitana Desanya, like the following Tana that appears in the following source, which is in a frame. It happens to be Rebbe Lozer ben Yankiv. Rabbi Lozer ben Yankiv Omer, V'yotzu zikenecha v'shoftecha. Zikenecha zu Sanhedrin. V'shoftecha ze melech v'koyin gadol. How do I know that from the word v'shoftecha I derive king and high priest? Melech dechtiv melech b'mishpat yamid eretz. Notice we've dashed underlined the words v'shoftecha and the word b'mishpat, which have the same root to them. And this pasuk refers to a king. Kohen Gadol dechtiv uvasel akoinim halavim veil hashofet. Notice the word shofet is dashed, underlined as well, tying in this pasuk, which is a reference, which is making reference to a Kohen Gadol, and our topic of Egla Rufa. Rabbi Lozer ben Yaakov also acknowledged the involvement of Sanhedrin. The Gemara questions now how much of the Sanhedrin is needed for in Rabbi Lozer ben Yaakov's constellation. Rabbi Lozer ben Yaakov, b'chada polig o b'tarti polig. Is he arguing on 1 point or on 2 points? Notice we have these noted as Aleph and Beis. The Gemara will now elaborate on these 2 points. We also have provided a long question marking, a she'ela, a question here, that will last all of these lines. So the Gemara opened up, is he arguing on 1 point or on 2 points? The Gemara now explains, and we're using the lettering to correspond to the opening of the question. Aleph, b'melech v'koyin gadol, we're viewing that as one unit. Is he arguing with regard to the need for having Melech and Kohen Gadol, Polig Avol, B'Sanhedri? But as far as the numbers of judges from high court, Ikreb Yudah, Ikreb Yishimon, he'll agree with either Reb Yudah or Reb Yishimon. In other words, in the matter of the Sanhedrin, there is no argument between Reb Lozer ben Yaakov and the opinions we've seen already. O Yidilmo, B'Sanhedri, Nami, Polig, Diyama Kulo, Sanhedri, Bo'inon. Or possibly, notice the Beis corresponding to the second possibility that he argues on two counts, not only with regard to Melech and Kohen Gadol, but he also argues with regard to the Sanhedrin, whereby he requires, Rabbi Lozer ben Yaakov requires, all of the Sanhedrin to be participatory in the measuring process. Omer of Yosef Toshma. We've circled Rav Yosef because we're going to be making reference to Rav Yosef later in the Gemara, so we want him to be easily found. Rav Yosef responds with a Toshma, an answer that will last, and we've encircled a Tov Shin Toshma abbreviation up to the immediate right-hand side of the Morph, a vertical dash line indicating the length of his presentation. Before we go on in the Gemara, let us note that at the end of this presentation, Abaye will attempt to deflect it. But what's interesting to note, which doesn't happen that often in these types of Gemaras, where you have a deflection, the Gemara a few lines afterwards will say, Tanya Kavosei de Rav Yosef, where a Tanaic source is brought in support of Rav Yosef's contention. Hence, we find it important to have encircled Rav Yosef's name at this point in the Gemara, so that when the Gemara refers to him later on, you'll be able to find him more easily. So the question right now concerning Rabbi Elazar ben Yankiv's opinion with regard to the Sanhedrin. Before we go on, we ought to introduce the Gemara. The topic that Gemara will be drawing from is called Zokein Mamre. This is a situation where a sage chooses to argue in regard to a psak din argue on the courts, on the court system, if you will. It's actually a fairly graduated process. The Gemara later in this Masichta deals with Zokein Mamre at much greater length. We don't have to dwell on it right now, but suffice it to say that the Zokein Mamre is a dissenting sage, and he actually argues with the members of the Sanhedrin HaGodol, the members of the high court that are usually located in the Lishkas HaGozes, that are located in the Azorah of the Beis HaMikdash. They were positioned there, a very holy location for a very august body of judicial personalities. The Zokein Mamre, if he in fact argues with the Sanhedrin, he is sentenced to the death penalty. This, of course, is provided with that he argues with them and returns to his community and continues to paskin that they should do unlike them. The Torah is not opposed to someone who, in the course of learning, simply has a dissenting opinion. The problem with the Zokein Mamre is that he's telling people not to listen to the psak of the Sanhedrin HaGodol and rather to follow his ruling. That's already a different level of severity. That is by way of introduction. Let's now continue in the Gemara, and it's a somewhat roundabout method of resolving the question of measuring for Egla Arufa, but it will become very clear as the Gemara goes on. Amar of Yosef Toshma. Let us come and hear the following Tanaic source. Motzon Abeis Pagi Vihimro Alehem. The Motzon is he found them. It's a reference to the Zokein Mamre found the Sanhedrin at Beis Pagi. Beis Pagi, Rashi mentions over here, is a location that is within the walls of Yerushalayim, but it's at the outer extent of Yerushalayim, within the Yerushalayim boundaries. And he found the Sanhedrin over there. Himra Alam, and he continued to disagree and argue against them, rule against them. Will his dissension be considered a dissension making him guilty of the death penalty, that he would be judged with the to receive the strangulation penalty, as is accorded to a Zokein Mamre? Talmud Lomar, the response to that question is no, he is not guilty. Why? V'kamto v'olisa al amokom. The pasuk says that that cases are brought to the place. Malamed shamokom gorim. We learn from there that the location at which the dissension takes place is a causing factor. Therefore, if they're not at the location, namely the Sanhedrin is not located at the point of the point of time that he dissents upon them. If they are not located in the place, namely in the Lishkas HaGozes, in the in their quarters that are located in the Beis HaMikdash, he is not considered guilty of dissension. As we go on, we said that they, the members of the Sanhedrin, were at Beis Pagi, Denofuk Kamo. How many left the Lishkas HaGozes? How many left the Beis HaMikdash area to go to Beis Pagi? Before we go on in the Gemara, let's just note we feature a geometric form here in order to draw our attention to an issue of stages. We have a house form over here. The note on the outside margin explains the Mivne, Shlavim, stages. Bebiur inyan yitzias Sanhedrin milishkas agozes. We want to clarify through a couple stages of the circumstances regarding the departure of the Sanhedrin from the temple quarters known as lishkas agozes. We're going to investigate here kamo yotsu, how many left, lemai, and for what purposes did they depart. So the Gemara continues, denofuk kamo, that departed how many, ilemo miktsasan. If you'll say that this story featuring in the Tanaic source that we just learned, the featuring members of the Sanhedrin at Beis Pagi, and only part of them left, Miktsasan, only a part of the Sanhedrin left, And it's regarding that case, that part left, and the source says that as a result of the pasuk, I know that he is innocent because they're not in their place. The Gemara will point out right now, I don't need a pasuk for these circumstances, because Dilma, the Gemara says, Hanoch de'ika gavoi kaimi kavosei. Maybe the balance of the Sanhedrin, that is gavoi, that is inside, meaning that remains back at home base at the Lishkas HaGozes, kaimi kavosei, hold like him, are actually in agreement with this particular Zakein. And if that be the case, he's not a Zakein Mamre. He has many members of the Sanhedrin supporting his opinion. Therefore, I don't need a pasuk to tell me that he's innocent. Logic will tell me he's innocent. Elopshita, rather, it's obvious to us that if you want to base his innocence on the Sanhedrin simply not being in their location, thanks to the pasuk, it must be denofik kulhu, that all of them left. In other words, he, the Zakein Mamre, is confronting all the entire body of the Sanhedrin at base Pagi. And I would have thought under such circumstances, because he's arguing with the entire Sanhedrin, he in fact is guilty. So the pasuk comes to tell me that he's innocent. Lemai. Now, the next stage of inquiry here. They left, we said, the Lishkas HaGozes. For what purpose? And we've established that they are all gone. They've all left the temple location. Ilema Lidvaha Rashus, if you'll tell me that they left for some type of optional purposes, some kind of court picnic, if you will, mi matsu nafki. Is it possible for all of them to leave for a matter of option? The Hawksiv, there's a posuk in Shirashir that says Shorech Agan Hasar Al Yechzer Hamozeg. And from that we learn that if the members of Sanhedrin want to leave the court location in the Lishkas HaGozes, there must always remain a third of the court back home at home base. The Rashi points out that there must be a third of 71 is approximately is 23. I mean, at least 23 must remain behind, that being a number corresponding to a Sanhedrin Katana. And yet we see that in this story, all of them left. If all of them left, they would not have left for a Dvar Rishus. That would be in violation of the teaching derived from this Pasuk. Ela Pshita L'Dvar Mitzvah. If, in fact, they all left, it must be, or it's obvious that they left because of some mitzvah that they were needed to perform. Hechidami, what mitzvah could possibly require all of the Sanhedrin? Lav lemedidas eglo, ferbelezer ben yaikev hi, di omar, kuli Sanhedrin boinen. Is it not for the purpose of measuring needed for the case of the found murdered victim? And this source is in accordance with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who says you would need all of the Sanhedrin. If you process all of this information, especially focusing on the dashed underlining, what do we see here? We see Medidas Egla Kule Sanhedrin Bo'inon, that this opinion, the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, holds that you need all of the Sanhedrin. So as far as our original question with the Aleph O Dilma Beis presentation, does he argue on one count or on two counts? According to this Toshma, according to Rabbi Yosef, he would be arguing on two counts. Not only would he require Melech and Kohen Gadol, but he also requires all of the Sanhedrin, unlike the opinions we saw, three or five. Omar Le Abaye, lo. Abaye says, from this discussion of Zakein Mamre, I cannot conclude with definitiveness that they left for Eglo Arufa purposes. Rather, Kegoin Shiyotsu Lahoisif Al-Ir Val-Azoros. The Sanhedrin left the Lishkas HaGozes for the purpose of adding to the boundaries of Yerushalayim or the Beis HaMikdash. Kedisnan Ein Moisifin Al-Ir Val-Azoros Elo Bebeis Din Shel Shivim Ve'echad. The extension of Jerusalem municipal boundaries, which involves much more than simple municipal issues. It involves halachas concerning areas in which different forms of kachim can be consumed. The expansion of the Jerusalem municipal boundaries is done only by the Beis and Shel Shivim Ve'echad. So that's why they left, but not because of Egla Arufa. The Gemara, though, continues and says, Tanya Kavosei Rav Yosef. We have a Tanaic source supporting Rav Yosef's approach. Rav Yosef's approach suggested that you need all of the Sanhedrin for Medidas Eglo Arufa. And here is the source. Motson Abeis Pagi. And this goes back to the issue of the Zokin Mamre, who found them, the Sanhedrin, at Beis Pagi, outside the Beis Hamikdash, their Beis Hamikdash location, and he argued with them. Kegoin sheyotzu lemedidas eglo. Notice how we've dashed, underlined. This is the main support to Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef mentioned that the entire Sanhedrin, according to Rav Elazar Ma'akev, is needed for this purpose, and here you have it in the source. Another possibility is Ula Hoysif Alu Yerval Azoros. Yochol Shetei Hamroso Hamro. Would his disagreement with them be considered grounds for guilt? Tamalomar Vikamto Vilisal Amokoim. Malame Chamokom Gorim. As the Pasuk indicates, that the Zokin Mamre becomes such only if he argues with them in their location. Their location being the Beis Hamikdash. Leta Ravai Umaiser Sheni Shein Domov Yiduin. Bishlosha. The evaluation of fourth year crops and Meiser Sheni crops whose value is not known needs to be evaluated by three Dayonim. Tanur Rabbanan. Before we go on, we have a topic heading, the outside margin, the Nosei. Pidyon, the redemption or Shuma evaluation of Meiser Sheni Sheein Dom of Yiduin. We have a Tanaic source here, Tana Rabbanon, Eizehu Meiser Sheni She'ein Dom of Yiduin. What does that refer to? What is meant by Meiser Sheni whose value is not known? The answer is Peros Shirkivu, fruit that's rotting, V'yayin She'hikrim, wine that's gone sour, Umois She'chlidu, or cash that was used for redeeming the Meiser Sheni, but the cash, the money itself, is rusting. Being that these are unusual circumstances, they don't have a market value, because that which is sold on the market are obviously products and items that are of a good, positive nature, not things like this. Hence, they need a special evaluation, and that evaluation is done by three. Of course, the result of their evaluation has ramifications toward the exchange of their sanctity onto money, which eventually will be brought to Yerushalayim, and food items will be bought there and consumed in Yerushalayim, as per the dinim of Meiser Sheni. Tanu Rabbanan, Meiser Sheni She'ein Dom of Yiduin, Poiden Oisoi B'Shloisha Lekuchois. Meiser Sheni, whose value is not known, is redeemed by three merchants who are expert in values, in evaluations. Avolo b'shloisha she'ein lekuchos, but not redeemed by three that are not expert. Afilu nochri echad mehem, even if one of them is a non-Jew. Afilu echod mehem bailim, even if one of the three happens to be the owner. Boy Rabbi Yirmiya. Shlosha umatilin letoch kis echod mahu. We said that the redemption is the stage beyond the evaluation. The redemption is done by three. How do we characterize three people that are matilin letoch kis echod, that are partners in business, in financial matters? There are three that are as if they're one. They're unified by united by the fact that they make investments together. Toshma, the source says, Ish ushte noshav poidin meiser sheni shein domov yiduin. A man and his two wives can redeem meiser sheni produce whose value is not known. This would seem to indicate a man and his two wives are a united unit, a single unit. One would think that they are completely together with regard to their financial matters. The Gemara says, no, this is not conclusive. Dilma kagon Rav Papa ubas Abba Surah. Maybe the man and two wives would be a type of marriage relationship like Rav Papa had with his wife, the daughter of Abba Surah, which in contemporary terms, we might say they held separate accounts, that they conducted their financial lives separately. Hence, the question of Rav Yirmiyahu would remain unresolved. Hayekdeshos b'shlosha. The evaluation of items that are sanctified and need redemption is done by three judges. Masnisin, our Mishnah that says Pidyon Hekdesh is done by three, Dalo Ki Haitana, is not like the following Tanaic source. Desanya, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Afilu Tsinura Shel Hekdesh, even a sanctified fork, Tzricha Asara B'nei Odom Lifdoisa, requires 10 people for the redemption. Notice how we've dashed, underlined the word Asara, the main point of difference. Amalei Rav Papa Labaye, Bishlama L'Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, D'Amar K'Shmuel. His opinion is more easily understood. He bases himself on Shmuel, D'Amar Shmuel, Asara Kehanim K'suvim B'Parsha. In the Parsha dealing with sanctified items, the word Kohen appears 10 times. And as a result of the 10 appearances of the word Kohen, we understand that you need 10 people for the evaluation. Elo l'Rabbanan, the opinions in our Mishnah, that the Rabbanan in our Mishnah that says, 3, Shlosha Mina Lahu. Where do they learn it from? Where do they learn 3 from? Before we go on in the Gemara, let's take advantage of an important Rashi. About halfway down, Asara Kehanim Ksuvim, Bepidyon Hegdeshos. There are 10 times the word Kohen appears in the context of redemption of sanctified items. Shlosha Beparshas Erechin, Shehi Rishona. 3 times the word Kohen appears in the Parsha referred to as Erechin, where a person dedicates his Torah, as opposed to market, his Torah value to the Beis Hamikdash. Torah value is not something based on market value, but rather a value based on age, as according to the Torah schedule of payment. Ushlosha, 3 times the word Kohen appears, Bepidyon Behema, with the redemption of behemoths that were dedicated, animals that were dedicated, Uvarbo Bekarkos, and 4 times the word Kohen appears in the context of those who dedicated land to the Beis Hamikdash and want to redeem it. So we have 3, 3, and 4 for a total of 10. That's fine and good as far as Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is concerned, but what about the Rabbanan? The Gemara continues, V'chi tema d'chsiv behu shlosha. One might say that, well, it says 3 in the case of pidyon behema, and therefore 3 is enough for redemption of hekdesh. The Gemara asks, Karkois d'ksiv behu arba tiski ba'arba. Are you going to tell me that in the context of land redemption, where in that parsha, in that section, 4 times the word Kohen appears, that the Rabbanan would say 4 are sufficient for this redemption? V'chitema hachinami. And if you say that's right, aloma tanan, so why does it say in our Mishnah, Harkokois tisha v'kohen, that land is redeemed by 10, namely 9 and a Kohen? Elamai. So what do you have to say as far as karka is concerned? Why are there 10? Dimishalmi behu asora? Because when you go through the list of kohanim, it adds up to 10 in the parsha of karka, of land. Namely, you get up to, by counting, 3 from Erechin, 3 from Pidyon Behema, and then 4, which is in the parsha of karkos, concludes, the parsha of karkos, the land redemption, concludes with these 4 adding up to a total of 10, and that's why I need 10. Well, if that be the case, Hegdeshos, the redemption of a Behema Temea, the Mishalmi Behu Shisa, the Bo Shisa, are you going to tell me that in the Parsha of redemption of Behema Temea, which comes after the Parsha of Erechin, namely 3 were mentioned in the Parsha of Erechin, 3 more are mentioned in the Parsha of Pidyon Behema, are you going to say that since you have 3 and 3, you need 6 for that? That's not true. Kashya. So the Gemara leaves this off unresolved, namely the issue of the number 3 for Pidyon Hekdeshos that is referenced to in our Mishnah. The source for that 3 remains unclear. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.